a pleasure to be up here again to speak to y'all. I'm glad a lot of people came. Some of y'all already knew or looked at the schedule, knew I'd be preaching here, so I'm glad y'all still came. But anyway, I just want to thank the Lord for, once again, for His blessings, for just giving y'all the ability to get out here and hear what the preachers have to say tonight. If you will, turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 9. Before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do want to thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings, Lord, for your watch care over us. Father, we thank you for the eternal gift that you have given us, the gift of salvation. Father, I do pray that you give me the wisdom to speak, Lord, give me the right words. Now, Father, I also pray there's anybody here tonight who is not saved, who does not have you as their personal Savior. Father, I pray you just touch their heart, Lord, give me the right words that will lead me directly, lead them directly to you. Father, we just thank you so much for your mercy. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, my dad has told me before when I was younger that I had a face only a mother could love. And I've noticed that even today. It's still true. But God has said something. God has said something that my feet are beautiful in His eyes. I don't care what all you people think about what my feet smell, whatever. God said my feet are beautiful. I preach the gospel, so my feet are beautiful. Amen. Those of you who preach the gospel, same with you. Amen. And it's something that gives me peace. I guess I have something that's beautiful, at least. Something, maybe just one thing. I think there's more of it, but there's at least one God says is beautiful. But anyways, that is what... We're beautiful because we preach the gospel of peace. And I've never understood why people would hate a person who brings the gospel of peace. And because today people are calling for peace, peace, you know, give us peace. Well, we're preaching it. Why do you just reject it every time we're out preaching it? Why reject it if you call for peace? We're giving it to you. We're giving the gospel of peace. But people, in their blindness and their just not wanting to love the light, will reject the peace that we are offering to them. And another thing that we preach, we bring glad tidings of good things. Glad tidings of good things. Things to come. Things better to come. This is not, we tell them that this is not the end. That when you die, there, and if you are Christ's child, if you are saved, there will be better things to come. There will be an eternal life with Jesus Christ, sitting with Him, praising Him for eternity. And people just do not understand the glad things that will be up there. There will be no more tears, there will be no more crying, there will be no heartache, no more pain, nothing. We just praising the Lord, just a marvelous thing. So that is one of the things that we preach. We bring glad tidings and peace. But yet, people in their blindness forget and just do not and reject what we preach and what God has offered unto them. But that is not my text. That was just for free. But my text is verse 14 and 15. And these two verses, when I was reading them, I noticed a pattern here. That it worked its way from the initial goal to the beginning of that goal. In other words, we have here in verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So in other words, it's starting from the person getting saved to the preacher being sent. And that is the goal, is people getting saved. That is our goal, people to get saved. But first, we have to start with a preacher. If there is a country, let's say before my parents, my dad and Uncle Brent went to Poland, there were not very many preachers on the streets preaching the gospel in Poland. There were some missionaries over there, but they weren't on the streets. They were doing seminary work or just, you know, talking to their friends at school or just stuff like that. But they were not actually on the streets giving the gospel. So once my dad and Uncle Brent got over there, and after about 8 months of learning the language, they finally got on the streets and were beginning preaching the gospel. And people started getting saved after about 7 years. people got saved, but just they didn't stick around too long. They get saved and they leave and stuff, but it's a real trial to start a work in a country where it's preaching on the streets is fairly new. Because communism has only been, the wall has only been down for about 20, 25 years. So it's something, preaching the gospel is something very new for Poland. So it was a shock for them to hear, especially the Americans' terrible language, you know, of the other language. So just made it even worse for them to reject it. But before my dad could actually preach the gospel, he had to be sent as a preacher. He had to preach here. So that's one something that if you want to be a preacher, if you want to go to another country and preach the gospel, you have to remember it has to start here. Preach now, today. You can't wait. Well, some people say, well, I'm going to wait time over there, then I'll preach the gospel because that's what I'm going to do. That's what I feel called to do, is preach over there. No, if you're called to preach, preach here. Start here. This is where it starts. And that is something that my father told me, like I told you last Sunday. That's something my dad told me when I want to be a missionary. He said, you want to be a preacher? Preach here where you're at. Preach in the country where you live. And preach to people who know you. And then, if you still want to, go and you're sent, go to another country. That's fine. But yes, first, a preacher has to preach. Same as a builder, he has to build. If you want to build, you have to build. You just can't say, well, I'm a builder. No, you don't build anything. It just doesn't work. You have to preach, you have to preach. And the next thing we see is, we see in verse 14, the end of 14, it says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? People can't hear the gospel if you're not preaching to them. If no one's telling them, they can't hear. They're in a different country. They're in a different world. They can't hear. So for them to hear the gospel, you have to go to where they are. Go to where they do not know the gospel and tell them. So that's another step that we have to do. The next step is, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How will they believe on Jesus Christ? They've never heard of him. Some people have heard of him, but never understood what he has done for them. Catholics know in general that Jesus, who Jesus Christ is, what he done on the cross, and that he died for them and for their sins. But they don't understand that it was their sins that put him on the cross. They don't understand that what they had done, what they're doing now, hurts him, and that he wants them to be saved. He wants them to come to him. That's the one thing that they don't understand. Living in a Catholic country my whole life is just, I've seen a lot of people who are blind to what the Catholic Church teaches about their religion and what God is and what Jesus can do for them. They don't tell them the whole detail. They give them the general idea, but they don't tell them, look, Jesus Christ died for your sins. He wants you to get saved. He died on the cross for you. And that's something that they do not tell them. Another thing they don't tell them is that Jesus Christ, that the only way through Jesus Christ to heaven is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. No man goes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. That's one thing they don't teach them. They don't teach that. They teach them, well, you want to get to heaven? Pray 20 prayers of this kind, 12 to 15 over here, and pray Hail Marys over there, and just come every day to church and stuff like that. Give your money, of course. That's another thing. Another thing that they teach. But they don't teach that salvation is free. That all you have to do is ask. And how will they know that salvation is free? If we do not tell them. If we do not go to where they are and tell them, look, what the Bible says about salvation, you can get it just by asking for it. It's a free gift. So how will they know if we do not go out there, if preachers do not tell them, if people do not actually take the initiative to get out there, to put themselves on the line, like Brother Milton was saying last night, to get out there, to take that first step. Like my dad and Uncle Brent, they didn't know what they were getting into. They didn't know what was going to happen when they got on the street. One of my dad's first messages, he was out on the down Old Town in Poland, and he was preaching, and all of a sudden, from the corner of the square, came two columns of soldiers marching right towards my dad. My mom had no idea what was happening. She was scared stiff. She didn't know what was going on. We had no idea what the cops, the military, anything, what would happen. But thanks to God, they just marched right on by, didn't say a word, and even didn't take a second look. But it was, to us, it was a fear. Since hearing all these stories of World War II, like these soldiers come by, just march up to you, take you away, and you're gone. They don't see you for never. We had no idea what was going to happen. My dad had, that was some strong decisions to get out in the streets when they had no idea what was going to happen. The same way with preachers. We don't know. When we get on the streets, who we're gonna face? Who's gonna encounter? Who's gonna attack us? From which direction? We don't know, but we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that He will protect us, and that we know that what we are doing is the right thing. We are preaching the gospel of peace, and yet people reject peace and they hate it. They try killing you or they persecute you because you are preaching something that is good. And like the Bible says, the days of these days, the prophecy is that people call good evil and evil good. That's what's happening today. People hate the good and they love the evil. I mean, look around you and everything around you. There's the clubs, everything is toward people loving the bad. People loving what the Bible says is a sin. And whenever the Bible says something is good, people hate that. To me, that is a shock. Well, it shouldn't be a shock because men as human beings are sinners and do not and hate light. Like the Bible says that the people of these days will hate darkness. Will hate light. Excuse me. That they will love darkness and hate the light. That is what the Bible says. Well, we keep on going, and it says in verse 14, "How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed?" How they call on Him whom they have not believed? To call on someone, you have to call on Jesus Christ. You have to believe what He did for you. You have to believe that He died on the cross for you. To call on Him. And how will they do that? Is that if we do not get out there, if those of you who have had a burden, and I'm talking, you know, a mission field doesn't necessarily have to be in another country. Your mission field can be here. The south side, the west side, the east side, just anywhere where you're at, to go into another place where people really don't know you. To go out and to preach to people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there are thousands in this city who still have not heard the gospel. There are millions in this country who have not heard the gospel. And this country and this city is a mission field in itself. And you're where you work as a mission field in itself. You might say, well, I'm just something insignificant. I don't really don't have much to say. You do have a lot to say. If you're saved, you have a lot to say. Amen. You have what matters. The only thing that matters to say. Amen. Get out there and tell them, look, Jesus Christ died for you. He loves you. That is why we are here. We are here, the Bible says, going to all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world. Now, all the world includes here too. Not only in foreign countries, in India or Poland or Japan or Brazil or anywhere else. Your country could be here. The country where you're called to preach could be here. So just remember that we are called to preach the gospel. Those of us who are saved, we have a duty. We are told by Jesus Christ Himself, get out there and preach the gospel. No matter I don't care if it's passing out a tract, if it's just telling someone, look, Jesus Christ died for you, and I hope that you realize that if you do not call on Him, you'll go to hell. Or something of that sort. Just anything that will bring to them a remembrance that they, one of these days, will die and will face their Maker. And if they are not part of God's children, they'll face eternity in hell. I was talking to some of my friends at work about hell, and I was telling him the gospel and stuff, and I told him, I said, if you don't get saved, if you're not a child of God and you die, you're going to go to hell. He said, don't tell me that. He said, why? He says, it scares me. He said, it should. It should scare you. That's exactly why I said it. It should scare you. Think on this. If you die, you're going to go to hell. That's why we preach the gospel, to tell them that people will go to hell. We do not want them to go to hell. That is why we preach every day, every Sunday, whenever we get a chance, to tell people that they will go to hell. We do not want that. That's why we preach. So get out there and tell people. People are dying every day. That was one of my biggest burns when I was in Poland. Before I started preaching, was that I was walking by on the streets and there were thousands just passing me by who did not know the gospel. Thousands just, it blew my mind. Just, why am I just passing them up? I'm just passing them up as if I didn't care. As if I was in the same seat that they are, which I was not. I knew where I was going to go. And why would somebody who knew where they're going to go, wouldn't tell other people, look, salvation is free. Just listen, you can come with me. Come with me. The same way like someone found the cure to cancer. And they didn't tell anybody. They just kept it themselves. And anytime they were sick or their family or something, they would cure it. And not tell anybody. It's the same idea. Just, if you have the cure of cancer, I'm pretty sure that someone would either, just for the sake of money, would just get out there and get that out there, get that cure out there. We have a cure that's even greater that will cure cancer. We have a cure, the salvation. We have the love of God that will cure anything. No, even if it won't cure it, but it'll make you happy in your state. It'll make you see the state that you're in. That you are no longer afraid of death. Because that's what people are who are not saved. They are afraid of dying. You talk to them, they say, I don't know where I'm going to go. But I know that they know in general that there's a hell and there's a heaven. They say, well, I know that I'm going to go to hell. Even some people just jokingly will say, well, I'm definitely going to go to heaven. I mean, there's just no way I'm going to go to hell. I mean, I'm not that all bad. But not that all bad. That's the key. Not all bad. But you are bad. You are bad. We're all sinners. For all of sin to come short of the glory of God. So that is why we're out there. And let me tell you, those of you who are not here, who are not saved, there is a hell. The Bible does say that there is a hell. It's not a fictitious thing to get people to get to call on the Lord. It's not something just to scare you. It is a real place. It is a place where there will be torment, gnashing of teeth, where there will be pain for eternity. And if you're here and you're scared of this, then do something about it. Don't just get scared and go home and like, oh well, I was scared, but I'm not scared anymore. Just like a movie. Did one of these sci-fi movies or these scary movies that some of my friends watch and try to get me to watch these scary movies. I hate those things. I hate scary movies. I just dislike them totally. But those movies, even when you're watching them, you're scared, you think, this is a movie. Why should I be scared? It's not going to happen. It's just made up. But hell is not made up. Hell is not something that someone just thought of just to get people to call on the Lord. Hell is a place where, seriously, I would not want anybody to go to. And people say, use that word lightly, just they say, go to hell, just lightly. When they don't know the meaning, they don't understand what they're actually saying. As they're telling people to go to an eternal death, eternal death in a place where there will be agony. They don't understand that. They use it so lightly. This is a message that I have preached on the streets many times. We know the verses, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's our goal. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is why we go to preach the gospel. That is why we go out and leave our family, leave our friends behind. To preach the gospel to those who do not know. To tell them that they just call upon the Lord, they will be saved. And like in verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Not only do you have to just use your lips and call, there has to be, what's the word? I guess your heart has to agree with what you say. What in your heart has to agree with the words are coming out of your mouth saying, I, Lord Jesus, please save me. Well, those words without the heart are easy to say. Anybody could say them. But when you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that He died, that the third day He rose again, and that you know that He lives today, and that you know that there, that He is in control of your life, and that He in just a split second could decide your fate and where you're gonna go today, that you would call. You would say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I'm gonna go to hell. Just the thought of hell should save you, should make you realize that you have to do something. People, when I was younger, when I got saved, I got to a point where I was reading, where my dad and I were reading the Bible as a family, and I got to one of the verses. I can't remember the verses, but something had to do with hell, with hell, and that scared me. And I knew when I was at six, I knew that I was going to go to hell. I knew that my life meant nothing if God wasn't in it. And so that made me realize and made me want to call upon the Lord. And that night, I called. I said, Lord Jesus, I do not want to go to hell. I do not want to go there. Please save me. Please come into my heart. And that has, I've been praising the Lord ever since. It's been a marvelous run, and I pray the Lord will keep on going. But that should bring anybody to understanding where they're headed. Just the significance of people going to hell. And one last verse that I would like to say, it's in verse 1 of chapter 10. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Well, my thing is not for Israel, although I do pray that they are saved. But my prayer is for Poland, that they might be saved. That is why I'm going to Poland. I pray that they will be saved. I pray that that country will be just so filled up with the gospel that there be not one person who has not heard the gospel. One person who does not say, I don't know where I'm going to go. Will someone tell me where I'm going to go? Not one person. That's my goal. That's my desire. That not one person should say, look, I have no hope. I know I'm going to hell. I know I'm a sinner. I know I do bad things. But where can I get out? Where is my hope? And I hope that I could be right there and say, your hope is in Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross. That is your hope. That is your hope where you can call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Not you might be saved. Not you possibly if you keep the Ten Commandments. Not maybe, but you will be saved. Amen. That is why we preach the gospel, so people will be saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.